In this video, we sit down with Neil and Lewis, two former electricians who now control 16 serviced accommodation units across West Sussex and Surrey, earning thousands of pounds per month. They reveal how they got started through rent to rent.
We are now refined professionals at securing long-term bookings. Probably on average, our bookings are around 2 months, I would say. We don't have much less than that.
He's got a 4 block of flats, quite close to Gatwick. We rent one as a rent to rent, and he's letting us manage the other three in that block.
So he was like our big break landlord. Now we actually manage an extra one for him.
Scaled with creative landlord deals and mastered long-term bookings using council partnerships.
We work with councils as well, which is a really powerful way of getting properties booked. You're not just relying on booking.com, Airbnb, Vrbo. You've actually got councils booking your properties as well.
Young people, for some reason, like young couples, love bungalows, and being accessible for wheelchairs and council bookings, they just tick all the boxes. They'll come to us and say, we need this property. If we could put you in contact with them, and they'll pay you 12 months up front, and that tenant then becomes yours.
They also share lessons from their toughest refurb, buying their first bungalow, and now their mission to retire their mums.
We knew bungalows are sought after property because they're accessible, and we knew this, so you can get a quite higher rental income per month from an accessible property.
Lewis was just on Rightmove or something.
Yeah, I just went on Rightmove. I look for a bungalow now. Same day we inquired about bungalow, and that's it. The deals are, we both want to retire our mums, and they're both here to help. So that's both of our main goals.
Hello and welcome to Samuel Leeds Success Stories. Today we're sitting with Niall and Lewis. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
So when I was reading through your information, I could not believe how many rent-to-rents you have in such a short amount of time. How many do you have right now?
Well, we have 10 rent-to-rents and manage 6 for landlords.
So amazing.
16 altogether.
16 altogether.
Yeah.
And was that an easy journey? Was it a difficult journey?
It's a super difficult journey.
Super difficult.
Super difficult
journey.
Okay,
good. Let's hear about it. Let's start from the very beginning, actually, okay. Before even joining the academy. Both of you guys met working as?
Electricians.
Electricians, mm-hmm. Great. And so what was that like being an electrician? Was it difficult?
Oh, the winters. That's what stuck out for me the most.
It wasn't a great time. I'm not going
to
lie.
We used to meet each other about 4:30 in the morning as well to drive up to London, which sucked.
Oh my gosh, really? Is that usual?
Yeah, for an electrician working in London, you're up and you're back home at about 6 that day, same day as well.
Wow.
So it's a long, long day.
That is long. And how long have you guys been electricians?
8 years.
Yeah, about the same, 8 years. And then we met each other through the same company, continued for about 2-3 years together,
mm-hmm.
and was running our own sites together. And then eventually we were like, this is it, enough's enough.
Yeah. So actually you had like a bit of an entrepreneurial bug as electricians.
Yeah.
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 Is it
difficult to move from working for an electronics company? No, it's called an electrician company.
Just as electricians.
Yeah.
And then becoming self-employed as electricians, was that difficult?
It was way better.
Yeah, 100%.
More control, right?
Yeah. Responsibility, but we was earning a really decent wage, probably more than we're earning now.
Yeah,
that we pay ourselves
more.
Anyway. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yeah.
But we was earning a lot of money, and we were just like, because the money you earn when you're self-employed is all due to how fast you are. And
yes.
And we knew as we get older, unless we wanted our own electrical company, that it wasn't going to be sustainable. So we were like, we need
to. It's a young man's game.
It's
a young man's game.
Okay, great. So then you're like, okay, we got to do something else. Mm. Was it property or was it something else?
It was everything.
Tell me, I want to hear it.
Oh, it was crazy.
We thought about making clothes. E-commerce.
Yeah.
Everything. And we were actually in the pub one day, and I came across Samuel Lee's crash course.
Mm.
And I actually said, I was like, oh, I'm not going to go. And then Lewis said, it's like a quid, why not? And then we went. And then that was the start, really.
What did you think?
It was amazing. The energy was kind of what hit me first.
Mm.
And there was knowledge, but there wasn't enough knowledge, enough that we needed anyway. So we had to take it a step further than the crash course, really.
Great. Yeah. And then you signed up for a four-day event or the full academy.
Yeah, he didn't want to do it, to be fair. And then so I dragged him along. And I dragged him along. And then when we got the actual full academy, I was like, oh, it's too much. And he was like, nah, no, we're in it now. Like, we've got to do it. So we kind of just bounced off each other.
Yeah. That's so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're at work, reading books on our breaks, just calling people.
People were thinking we were stupid.
Yeah.
People at work were like, what are you doing?
Like other electricians, blah blah blah.
And we're like, we just didn't know what to say. We were like, have we been scammed? Have we not? Then once we got into it, we realized it was probably the best thing we'd done.
100%. Yeah. But you can imagine being on site, it's a very like testosterone filled area where everybody thinks they're the best. So when they see us reading books about property, they're like, oh, you're such nerds. Why are you doing that? You know, and then a couple of months later, we're handing in our notices or whatever.
Yeah.
So
what was that like?
I got fired, actually. Yeah. He actually got fired, Okay. He handed his notice, so I told my boss I wanted to go down to 3 days a week, which I could because I was self-employed. But then obviously he was just like, well, if you're going to do that, you can just leave now. So he was like, mate, the business is going. Like, you might as well just go flat out into it. The same week we got our third rent-to-rent or fourth rent-to-rent?
It was our fourth rent-to-rent that same week, yeah.
So that was like just the second we'd left to put in the work full time, and you're getting that additional property, and then that's when we started doing it. And then I think it was like 4 months later.
4 months later, I left.
Yeah. Wow.
So it was quite a while after, to be fair.
Yeah, that's good. So what was the first deal like?
First, it was actually quite crazy, to be honest.
Probably the easiest.
It was the easiest one.
Really?
Yeah. We got quite lucky because the landlord that we took it off, he had the whole block as Airbnb before.
Oh, perfect. Why would he give it to you then?
Well,
he got stung.
He got
big time.
Stung, yeah, by the person that was doing it. Because there was a big thing with the council and who they were trying to put in and stuff like this. And he was like, you can't do that. But then he gave us two flats in our first deal.
Mm. So he actually wouldn't give us one. Mm. So he was like, no to the one. And then we actually sent him back like, well, if you was to take us on, like, we'd be inclined to take two. And then they tried us and then we went to the viewing. He was like, actually, I really like you boys. Yeah, we'll give it a go. So he was like our big break landlord. Now we actually manage an extra one for him.
Yeah.
Oh,
great. He's seen the money we make and he was like, well, I don't want you to rent it.
Yeah.
But I'd like you to manage it because he wants to see the revenue that we're seeing.
Yes, so, of course.
You just need that one landlord that's nice to meet you on a personal level and give you that break. And then from there, you just have to do your best.
Right.
You just have to give away every single piece of your life to that landlord.
Easy.
Just to prove that one property. But that's all it takes, is just one landlord that's just nice, you know.
That is. How do you nurture a relationship with a landlord?
Just,
I think each landlord's different. So the landlords we speak to, normally they're quite, I don't know if I can say the word, but just common people. We don't speak to landlords like we're professional letting agents and we're prim and proper.
Yeah.
We just speak to them on a down-to-earth level, like how we speak to our mate. Well, not our mates, but that'd be a bit too far.
Yeah, personal touch is definitely it. Yeah, come away from the business and meet them where their needs actually, where they actually need to be met, you know. So instead of just thinking of it like, what am I getting from it, it's like, what can I give back?
Right. And that's a great place to come from, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Giving value instead
of that comes back tenfold as well, because they tell people and then they've got more properties, and just being able to offer that a little bit more definitely helps.
Yeah, that's 100%. What Samuel does a lot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
He gives loads of value and then it all just kind of comes back naturally, generically kind of thing.
Yeah.
Great. So one and two done. And then three and four are just around the corner?
Three was a joint venture we done with a girl called Holly on the academy.
On the academy, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you joint venture a rent-to-rent?
The thing is, we joint ventured in a very, it wasn't a normal way, really. You normally joint venture when someone else has got the money and then someone else finds the deal. Mm-hmm. We found the deal and we put in half the money, but we joint ventured with her because she was very close to the apartments and we were quite far away.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought it would be quite a good mix to have someone so close when we can't really be as hands-on because of how far away we are.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have four with her. So
great. So that arrangement worked out.
Yeah. Splitting down the middle, I think, is probably the easiest way to put it. If you want to do a JV, but maybe you're quite short of funds, if someone can meet you there and you just have an agreement where, do you know what, we'll both put in the same amount of money, the same amount of work, and then any profits or money that needs to be put in again, you just meet in the middle, and then you can, it's quite easy not to confuse things that way. That, I would say that's the best way of doing a JV, to be honest.
Great. Mm. Okay. And so now you have 16. So what were some of the best times running so many? What were some of the worst? Let's start with the best.
Start with the best, or the bookings.
The bookings?
Yeah, the bookings are the best.
The phone's going.
I mean, to be fair, we are now refined professionals at securing long-term bookings. Yeah. So our bookings extend from anywhere from 2 months to a year.
Wow.
And we are very, very good at that. I mean, probably on average, our bookings are around 2 months, I would say. We don't have much less than that. So that's when you get a big booking, like, I would say that's the best for you.
They're all normally big bookings. Yeah. It is nice.
Low maintenance, cleaners don't have to come in. You don't have to manage stuff all the time. That feeling like when you get like a cancel or a family where you're just in there for a long time, you're providing back to someone that needs it and it's long term. So that's probably the best time.
Yeah, 100%. The worst times is staging. Hate it. We've taken on some properties that are in terrible states.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Because we're handymen anyway, we know we can get it back up to standard.
But what were the worst condition places that you took on?
The one we spent 11 grand on.
Yeah. And so what did you spend it on?
Oh my God. Oh. Wow.
Imagine you're ripping wallpaper back and the plaster comes off the wall with it. You're like, I'm not actually repainting, I'm plastering. So I took up plastering for like a week.
Oh yeah? Plastering 101?
Oh God, that was awful. It was just horrible, wasn't it?
Sanding walls down for literally took days straight, sanding walls down, trying to get them smoother. Painting.
So did that end up being more in cost for getting it up to spec?
I think we estimated like six grand. We spent 12. But I mean, it's made its money back. Tenfold.
Probably one of our best properties.
It probably is. The reason we got into that is because we found a strategy that worked really well for not only us growing, but for landlords struggling. And we would say, well, we'll take care of the property uplift and we'll spend the money, but in return, offer us a rental reduction. And the rental reduction could be structured over a 6 month period or 12 month period. But the point is that the landlord can't afford it now, but we can. So we say, well, we'll pay it and you pay us back over a 12 month period. So the rent would usually maybe be £1,600 and we'll get it for £1,400. So that helps us grow, getting the property on the market for such low value, but also helps the landlord because they haven't got the money now. So we've done that so much.
It was very
hands-on, because every time it worked, we'd find a rundown property and we'd say, well, we can make it great.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay us now, you can pay us later. And like that, we were just sealing deals left, right and center.
That is a really great idea.
We're not doing it anymore.
Why not?
The last one we had, there was prison bars on the windows, prison doors.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I think some dodgy stuff was going on in that flat, to be honest with you. We were taking like prison railings off these windows. Having to get rid of these fully like they're the chunkiest metal doors, like you can't get through them. You've got more chance of getting through the wall than the door.
Oh my gosh.
It was insane. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I would. I would probably do it again,
but we'd pay someone this time. We're in a position now where we could probably pay someone. But at the start, like, this is what you've got to do if you want to get there quickly anyway.
Yeah. And where do you find your long-term bookings?
Now they come to us directly quite a bit.
Amazing.
Because of the little techniques we've learned over the years. But it's all normally always from OTAs. But we have other ways of not just booking.com, Airbnb, getting our properties booked. We work with councils as well, which is a really powerful way of getting properties booked for emergency accommodation. So you're not just relying on booking.com, Airbnb, Vrbo. You've actually got councils booking your properties as well. Basically, if your properties can be booked from every angle, then your occupancy is going to be almost 100% all the time.
Right.
And that's kind of where we got to. We were like, we're too reliant on OTAs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had to find
and
other
the fees,
ways.
Right?
Yeah.
The fees,
oh my,
yeah, they are big. Yeah.
They are big. Yeah,
you have to market big. Yourself, I think. When you're like one or two properties, it's great to be Airbnb, booking.com if you're in a prime location. But when you start venturing out, you need to then start contacting businesses, contacting councils, and just advertising other ways and making sure that if you have got a small website, your SEO is done in a certain way where people can find you for, for long terms.
Like, and, give us an example of that.
What, on the website? Mm-hmm. So like, for example, so we've got our website and it is just Miller Hudson, but our SEO is programmed in a way that if someone types in short-term lets or long or medium, like, we are popping up at some point and they will click on us. Another great strategy is, even on booking.com and Airbnb, at the start is having all of your photos together in one picture with your logo, with your name on it.
Yeah.
And people will just search you organically. Yeah. And they might have seen you from the OTA, but they contact you directly.
Great.
All they got to do is type in what they see on your logo.
Yeah.
And then they find your website and they contact you directly. Yeah.
Simple, oh, that's good. Do you have duplicate listings? I've heard Academy members do that.
Yeah, it's quite hard to keep track of, to be honest with you.
It must be, right?
Well, for 16 listings and they've all got a duplicate one. I mean, yeah, you're scrolling through your listings on Airbnb and you're like, Christ, this is a...
So tell us, what is the point of having a duplicate listing? How does it help you?
Well, the duplicate listings are for people for long term, really. Mm-hmm. And they inquire instead of book instantly. So when this is how we used to do it. When they inquired, we would secretly somehow put a message in there saying, call me and disguise our number somehow or something like that. That's what it was used for. And that way you can also see whether there's a big demand in your area. So say if you have a calendar and it's booked up, if you have your dummy listing always free, you can actually figure out how much demand there is in your area. Because if your calendar's booked up, you're not going to show up when someone wants to come and book. But if it's free all the time, you're going to be able to see how many requests are coming in your area and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's actually really good on that, like she says, that market analysis, because you've got an extra listing across four properties. Now you're getting loads more inquiries. You're like, I could actually handle more people, more properties, more people. So tackling it that way, it gives you loads. If you look at it deeply, that does give you a big insight to how your area is performing.
All right. So you've got this huge portfolio of 16 properties that you're controlling. Serviced accommodation?
Yes.
Mostly?
They are all serviced accommodation, but I'd say serviced accommodation is just normally solely like using OTAs, but we've used counts.
I think they're built to be serviced accommodation. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever we build a property, we build it to be serviced because we want it to work across. So we have a total of about 5 strategies we'll use to book out a property. But if it's service accommodation ready, it can be used for all of them. Mm-hmm. But in the other sense, where, say, council, for example, want unfurnished property, now you've kind of killed all the rest of them. So you can't use that. But if it's actually built for service accommodation, it can do all of them.
Right.
So we'll get a property and we'll be like, well, it works for this, 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 and this. And we don't even have to stress about it now. Mm-hmm. But if you're just built for one thing, it's
and where hard. Where is your patch?
It's West Sussex and Surrey.
West Sussex and Surrey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're split between there. It's actually quite a hard place to get going, to be honest, because the rents are so high where we are.
Right? Aren't they? So how do you get your numbers to stack? So then this is when the negotiation comes in.
Yeah, it's when the negotiation comes in, trying to get direct bookings, finding other ways of getting booked out, and then the long-term bookings, because the long-term bookings, they're always profitable. And I don't think there's a lot of people in our area that do what we do.
Great.
And the ones that are doing it, they don't really understand long-term bookings. So we're kind of the only ones in our area actually doing it. I don't know anyone in the academy doing it in our area.
Yeah, it'd be great to get to know some people that actually are, or even be able to help some people that are. But it was hard for us because we had no one to ask. Everybody's up north, or everybody's down in Brighton. Mm-hmm. And Brighton's really good in the summer, but it was too much of a risk for us in the winter. Mm. But where we are, it's so small. We just had to make it work. But I think that's what it goes back to. You have to stick at one thing. Like, if you're deal selling, you've got to stick at deal selling, just try and master it. Where for us, we were like, this is what we're doing. We need to know everything about it.
Yeah.
And you start asking the right questions and you're like, oh, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this. And then that all suddenly comes together and you're like, oh, now I've got so much opportunity. Where at the start, if you're just aiming at one thing, it's like, oh my God, what's going on? Like, you're just waiting for the next booking. We would celebrate.
Yeah, we would
jump around
the plot. I remember running around the plot like, yes, our first booking. Like, and it was a little 4-day booking or something, but just felt like we'd achieved it.
Because it is an amazing feeling, isn't it? That you put in all this hard work and then just like that, somebody from somewhere else, a complete stranger, books it. They pay money to stay in your property, which it's like really fulfilling, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And you've dominated your patch. Like that's what Jeremy Griggs says. He's like, dominate your patch. Like be the ones to run that show there, right? That specific strategy. The more specific you get, the more money you can actually ascertain, right?
Yeah.
Then you become specialists.
I think that's what we are in our patch now. I mean, we've done a lot of deep market research and we're the only company offering the solution that we offer.
Great. So. What's your Instagram like?
Terrible.
I know.
Yeah.
I saw. Yeah. I'm like, what is this, right?
I'm the worst at making videos.
12 pictures.
I know.
Yeah. Okay, it's going to get better, right?
Yeah, we're practicing.
Well, can you imagine how much more business you're going to get? Like, you're leaving customers on the table by not tapping into it.
So now we've actually got an office, which we forgot to mention. But
since
we've been in the office, we've been thinking about stuff and redesigning stuff and... we've come to the conclusion that we've literally nailed everything on the head. But the one thing we have now is that we can't get our message out. We need to deliver this message to more people. Like people need to know who we are. So we're actually on a social media course at the moment. So we need to get good at this. And instead of like learning, like we do post, but instead of trial and error, we're like, right, we're just going to pay for it. We're just going to learn it how it's supposed to be done and go and smash it. So that is next on our list. We need to let people know that we exist and we're here and we're here to help.
I know, because I had talked to you guys before. You were like, yeah, we did accountability calls, loads of them. And I'm like, yeah, we did. And then, one of the biggest reasons why we're sitting here today is because Ibby sent me a picture of you.
Yeah.
Right? And he's like, you have to get him on Winners on a Wednesday with Lewis. And I'm like, okay, guys, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's as easy as it was. And that's somebody else promoting you. So you guys need to step up and promote yourselves.
Yeah.
And it's a weird feeling though, isn't it? To talk about yourselves in a way.
I don't mind it. he hates it.
I can see it in your face. Yeah, you're like, oh gosh.
Yeah. We have some hilarious videos. Yeah,
some of the takes, oh my God.
Yeah.
I just can't remember a single word when what I'm supposed to say.
Oh.
But I mean, this is why you have multiple people in your business. He's good at one thing and I'm good at another.
There you go.
That's the beauty of having
Their strength in numbers, 100%.
Yeah, there you go. Good. Okay, so are you going to get to like 100 units? Like, what are you thinking? Are you going to like shift gears?
I mean, he's very invested in...
I want to buy property.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very...
All right, let's
all
do
I
it.
All I want to do is just buy property and just go around viewing BRR, stuff like that. That's all I want to do, really.
Okay. And you did start, right?
We did start, yeah.
Okay, tell us about it.
We did start. So, well...
The bungalow.
So the bungalow was actually...
very sporadic.
Very sporadic.
How did that happen?
Well, we knew bungalows are sought-after property because they're accessible. And we knew this, so you can get a quite higher rental income per month from an accessible property.
And you mean wheelchair accessible?
Yeah, yeah.
It's very interesting.
That's why we targeted the bungalows.
Good, good.
Then Lewis was just on Rightmove.
Yeah, I just went on Rightmove. I was like, I look for a bungalow now. Same day we inquired about bungalow and that's it. We put an offer in.
We got it $25,000 below asking price.
Really?
Yeah, we did an embarrassing offer. It was up for like $310 originally, then got reduced to $290 and we went in at $260, got it for $265.
Oh, wow.
And
good
that in our
work,
area
guys.
Is like unheard of, to be honest. We avoid stamp duty by being,
It's below $300,000 and being on a residential mortgage.
Residential.
Yeah.
We avoid stamp duty that way, which was, I think it was around $14,000 we paid because by the time we'd done it, that was the time when they upped the stamp duty threshold. Right.
Yeah.
So we were like, why wouldn't we do it on a residential mortgage and save $14,000? Yeah.
There is a catch with the residential mortgage, though, how we managed to get it.
Tell me.
Well, we had to say we're a couple.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
They did ask us. They were like, it's not for development purposes. We were like, no.
Well, good, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So, well, congratulations on your relationship and your house. okay, great. And so that's completing now? Or what stage is that at?
It's been going on for a while, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Just questions after questions. Yeah. But it's looking like either this week or next week, we should have the keys. So.
Amazing.
We should, but you never know. You never know with brokers and underwriters, really.
Yeah. How did you raise finance?
Family members.
Yeah. Love it.
His mum had the cash, and my mum actually has a residential property, and she's remortgaged. Well, she is going to remortgage for me.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so the family knows about your property businesses and how to...
The deals are we both want to retire our mums.
Yeah.
And they're both here to help. So that's both of our main goals. So the quicker we can get there, the better, really.
Mm-hmm.
Will you retire me too? I'm probably your mum's age. Okay, great. So then we're looking at purchasing. This bungalow is going to go through. Are you going to be able to do like a BRR and increase the value?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes. So I worked out the GDV on that one, and it was anywhere between 390 and 420.
We've obviously got over
265.
Yeah.
Because what we're doing is we're putting a front extension on it, turn it from a one bed to a two bed.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it was so cheap was because on the EPC, it said it was about 48 square meters.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't count the conservatory as a livable area. So that's why it was so cheap, because...
It was...
Yeah, and then the footprint for the conservatory was already there for the back extension, so it's pretty much just building up. And then we will increase the square meterage from 48 to, I think, 67.
Amazing.
But we're going to mostly do it ourselves.
67, two-bed.
Two-bed, two-bath.
Bungalow, accessible.
Yeah.
They're so good they're so sought after for... Well, old people want to downsize, so they don't have to go upstairs. Young people, for some reason, like young couples, love bungalows. Mm. And being accessible for wheelchairs and council bookings, they just tick all the boxes.
Mm. Yeah.
So you're either going to sell really fast or you're going to get a really good rental income from it.
You know, we had this inquiry from somebody who's interested in the academy. And I was talking to him, this gentleman named Sean, and he wanted to go to the Inner Circle in Brighton. He's in a wheelchair. So he asked if he could go to Brighton's Inner Circle. And I had been to Brighton. I know that there's stairs going up. So then I called the Inner Circle leaders and they spoke to the owners. It's not wheelchair accessible. So they're going to go and meet this gentleman, Sean, for a coffee somewhere else. And I'll get him a ticket for anywhere else. Because I said, I can take you anywhere else. Okay, sure, no problem. So I sent a message into the Inner Circle group chat leaders. And I said, what venues are wheelchair accessible? And almost all of them were.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is a great service. You want to take care of everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's great. Okay. And then after this bungalow, what else is going to happen? Well, what do you have in the pipeline?
I'm very much cash flow motivated. So I like to see that we've got, and I mean, so is he, but we have our differences. So obviously, if we get to the point, when we get to the point that we want to be at, he'll be very much looking for big deals.
Yeah.
And I'll be very much trying to scale the cash flow business and really sort of honing down and being able to provide landlords with a different type of service outside the normal lettings market.
So what would that be?
So that's the tailored solutions where landlords can come to us with their situation, whether that be financial, property destination, future goals, and they can come to us and they come through we put them through a tailored funnel, and it has to be on now situation, but when they go through the funnel, we'll find a strategy that best works for them. Instead of just being like, okay, you can have an AST, it could be like, well, you could have council AST. They might even land on some sort of investment service or management service accommodation or just normal rent to rent. And that gives the landlords kind of more of a safety net where they're choosing how their property is operated and not so much where they're being told how it's operated. We'll say, well, this is what we think will work best for you, but predominantly it's your choice.
Okay, I have a property. It's empty. Mm-hmm. Let's do this role play. It's not role play, it's real.
Yeah.
Okay, so what kind of questions would you ask somebody?
So we have your priority. So the first question is priority, and we say, do you want to grow? So you want to grow your incomes, or you're looking for like a guarantee?
I'm looking for a guarantee.
So if you was looking for a guarantee, we would then ask something, what is your previous tenant experience? Have you had bad experience? Have you had good experience?
It was running as a serviced accommodation, and then it got shut down by the council.
Then it got shut down by the
council. And it's empty now.
Oh, okay. So that would be
a bad experience.
That would be, yeah. So that would
that
be.
Would qualify as very bad.
Yeah. And then, so a great question to ask would be sort of, what's your financial situation now? And we would normally ask, do you have sort of 0 to 5K or do you have 5 to 10K?
For what?
Liquid cash to go, yeah.
I have a 0 to 5.
0 to 5. So we would probably put you somewhere with like the council contact. If you was in our area, mm-hmm. you'd probably then land on somewhere, something like a council contact. Although it got shut down by the council.
Because it was a serviced accommodation.
Yeah. Because it was a serviced accommodation, the council always looking, depending on, so they're looking for 2 beds, 3 beds, 4 beds, 5 beds, 7 beds, whatever.
Yeah.
And they'll say, and they'll come to us and said, we need this property. If we could put you in contact with them, and they'll pay you 12 months up front, which would not only sort out the situation you had where it's been shut down, but it also sort out a lot of cash problems because you're getting your yearly profit up front. And that tenant then becomes yours. So they'll put them through a scheme where they'll pay your rent 12 years. No.
12 months.
12 months up front, sorry. 12 years. 3 years. So it's a 3 year scheme. But after, the tenant then becomes yours as well.
Mm.
So you'd probably land somewhere on that region, considering the cash flow, the experience, and how the property sat.
And the area. So the area also will play a big factor because one area might work for service accommodation, one might not. And then the property's condition as well. Because if the property's in bad condition, it most likely won't work for service accommodation unless you've got the cash to do it up.
Right.
Then if you don't have the cash to do it up, then service accommodation's not for you. So you'd want to go down a different route.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's not just the landlord situation, it's the property situation.
Well, they could even do service accommodation. It'd be like rent to rent though. We'd say, well, we're not going to do service accommodation management with you because you haven't got the cash flow, but perhaps we could put you in contact with a good rent to rent company that will take the property off you and will do the work.
Sorry, so are you going to be doing the work? Are you the rent to rent company?
No. Well, we could be the company. We could also put them in contact with a good company. People that we know from. We've got a lot of people that we know in around the area for definite.
Mm-hmm.
That we could say, well, look, they might be looking for a property like this, and they'd be happy to not only uplift the property but pay you the rent you want for an agreed term.
Great. Mm. So you have a really great landlord that you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
What? Tell me about that. What is that, this gentleman, and why is he so generous?
Oh, well, he is a generous. Well, the story about him is he was our first ever call Lewis ever made.
Wow.
Well, the first call that Lewis made was the first call any of us even made. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was the first call we ever made
from like one of the courses.
The four day course.
Wow.
First ever call. And now we he's got a 4 block of flats quite close to Gatwick. We rent one as a rent to rent, and he's letting us manage the other three in that block. And then what he's doing is he's selling half of his portfolio after seeing how much money we make from a single property. He wants a bit of it. So he's selling half of his portfolio and he wants to open an SPV with us and build a portfolio with us because he knows cash flow wise, if we rent it out for him, it's going to make a lot more than he has been making.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So his initial situation was we'd come in contact with him about properties and we actually met him. So the call was to a letting agent that actually ran the properties for him. And we all met up and we got into a conversation about his property portfolio. And the problem he's having is that he has them in his own name. So he was getting big Section 24 tax implications that just weren't working for him.
Yeah.
He's getting charged massive tax and he can't obviously deduct his mortgages off that. So we started meeting up regularly, talking about strategies to kind of get around that. We really did end up landing on there is no way to get around that.
Yeah.
Like once you're in that loop,
every time someone found a way to get around it, there'd just be another rule that's made that closes that little rule that you could use to get around it. So
we spoke to him about how he should invest in property by having a limited company, so because it's got a lot more benefits and perks. And then eventually after we tried for this amount of time, he was like, look, I'm just going to sell half, pay off the mortgages on the one so it doesn't matter, and then reuse that money with you guys to invest properly second time round. So
what would you guys be buying together then?
I think probably
I'd say bungalows.
Yeah, bungalows.
I love bungalows.
We have got a little so we haven't got a company for BRRs just yet, but we always make the joke that it will be, we'll call it the Bungalow Boys or something.
I like that.
But bungalows are, I think, the best things you can buy, because they work the exact same as a house, but then they also work in the other way of how much rent you can get for them because they're accessible. So yeah, I think it's a no-brainer.
How much more rent can, like, percentage-wise, can somebody get if it was accessible?
God. It's crazy.
It is nuts.
Yeah.
For a bungalow, say it's an emergency accommodation through the council, they can, for a three-bed house, they'd normally pay, what, £120 a night?
Wow.
For a three-bed bungalow, they'll pay like £200 a night.
Really?
Because there's no bungalows as service accommodations.
Right.
No one had the bungalows that are about are all normally occupied by elderly people.
Right.
So none of them are service accommodation. So that's why they'd pay such a high rate.
Yeah. So very slept on strategy.
Yeah.
I mean, people look at bungalows because they've got a lot of opportunity. You can build up, you can build out, you can do loads of things, but genuinely they are cash flow monsters. Like if you've got the right contacts within the council, not only are they going to pay a high nightly rate, but it's normally for the foreseeable. Mm-hmm. So, like, they don't give you a date. They'll be like, we just need this.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, what's our shortest council booking?
Well, there is one very short one, which was only about 3 weeks, but the next one was, like, 4 months.
But 3 weeks is still great for most people.
Oh, yeah,
and
especially
at £200 a night, you know? So,
pay a nightly rate for 4 months.
Yeah.
I mean, we had one booking for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, our mortgage on the bungalow that we're going to have now is only going to be somewhere between £1,500 and £1,700, probably with all the bills. So when the council are paying you £4,000 a month, it's just, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Such a passive strategy too,
It's unbelievable. Yeah. That's I think what makes it great is you're always helping someone as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you're helping someone find somewhere permanent and that they needed today.
Yeah,
and you can make money doing it. So, and you can just keep growing it and growing it and growing it because it's just never ending.
Are you guys going to stay business partners forever and ever?
Yeah, we were speaking about this actually.
Yeah. So it was when we went to the ACPP with Samuel.
Yeah.
And he explained that it was the breaking the biscuit type of thing where it was anything that you do, you're basically, when you're in business with someone, you're like bound for life.
Mm.
Like if I go and do something that's taking my time away from the business, that's not fair on Lewis because I'm doing my time's elsewhere.
Yeah.
So basically whenever you want to do something, you go, does the business want it? And if the business doesn't want it, you can go and do that thing. But then if the business does want it, you can't take it for yourself. Mm.
And it works good. So basically anywhere we go, we move in Unity. That's it. His money is my money and my money is his money. Mm. And when it works like that, if he's in debt, I'm in debt.
Which we are a lot at the moment.
But the ACPP changed that for us. That was like the turning point of our career. Like we were just kind of seeing it as like just any sort of side hustle. And then Samuel was like, you need to understand this. Like it's a game and you're playing to win. And he was like, here's the rules. And you've got to learn the rule book and now it's serious. And then it changed us for us.
Yeah.
It changed our mindset. This is a business. We need to turn up every day on time. We need to be grinding. And it just
took off. Best thing.
Yeah,
it took off. ACPP was pretty awesome.
Oh, man, that graduation is like nothing else, right?
Yeah. I mean, if there's people in the academy that are doing well, even if you have like 4 or 5 rent-to-rents and you're thinking about the ACPP, just do it.
Because
we were quite stagnant. It's almost like you don't know how to grow, but Samuel makes it so unbelievably clear. And his mum.
Yes.
As well. Like it just abundantly clear after. Like, that was so easy. Like, but before it's like, okay, but where do I go from here?
Mm-hmm.
And they just break you down. And it is a process. Like they do break you down.
Funny how he done it to us, to be fair.
Oh, it was crazy.
He made us sit back to back. Yeah, he made us sit back to back and made us write down on our phones who was responsible for each part of the business.
Okay.
And we both kept putting both of us. And then we were like, oh, yeah, we both got it right. We got it right. And he was like, no, you're both wrong. Like, and we were like, oh, God. So then after that, we made roles and responsibilities. So now I do a certain role and he does a certain role.
Mm.
And it doesn't get mixed up. But we never knew that before we went on the ACPP. We just done it as it came.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. See, the thing is that you learn so much about the strategies and operations and everything. And then by the time you hit that ECPP graduation, it's like the advanced level, right? Yeah. It's like how to get you into like CEO mind. Yeah. This is not for fun. This is real, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
So, yeah. And then he pushes you, right?
Does 100% push you. I mean, to be fair, sort of touching on the same subject, I think one of the reasons our social media is slipping a little bit is because we're so head down on systems. That's like one thing we've been doing. So we realized so quickly that you can make money tomorrow, but like if you don't have the right systems in place, it get taken away just as quick. So like one of our biggest things has been systemization, just making sure that you
have done it quite early. We don't very early.
What are some of your examples?
Well, it's the email thing is probably the biggest.
Emails, just having the correct email. So we have a professional email, and then we have emails for money that's coming in, and we have emails for money that's coming out, and that just makes the accountant's job so much easier and easier to trace instead of just having it all bundled in one place and it getting confusing.
I like that.
It's just system. You can also have alias emails for different properties, so it comes under the same email address but it's aliased, so it's immediately kind of differentiated. And
creating bills or properties, if it's just using the same email, you're gonna be like, what bill, what property is that bill for? But it, when it comes up with that alias email, your alias email is
123 Main Street.
Yeah, so you know exactly what it is. But like little things like that, they get overlooked, because the last thing I want to see really is like a messy email inbox or something like that.
You have to filter through afterwards.
I hate
it.
I have to delete every pointless email. I can't. Yeah. I'm not one of those people that has like 1,000 unread emails. I can't do that.
The day-to-day admin is just nuts. Yeah, like you've always got something new to improve. You're just like, oh, that needs to be better. That needs to be better. That needs to be better. But now for us, social media needs to be better.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Well, we'll all be paying attention now, right?
Yeah.
So you guys have been in the academy for a year and a half?
Yeah.
About a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. So you probably saw the majority of all of the upgrades and changes and stuff that has happened in the portal and the services. Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
What has been your favorites? What has Samuel come up with that you loved?
You know what? I think the best bit is DealConnect. Even though we haven't utilized it, the power of it is quite crazy.
What's DealConnect?
DealConnect is where a deal will be put through Samuel's team, and they'll do their due diligence on the deal that the academy member puts on it. And then he will put it out to his investors, and then the deal sold normally 9 times out of 10, because he's got such a big investor list. And you can also, so a lot of deal sources aren't trusted, but when you're piggybacked off Samuel's name, then and Samuel's team are doing due diligence on your deal.
Mm-hmm.
If it makes it on there, it's a good deal.
That's right.
Yeah. It definitely makes it easier for deal sources to start. I mean, we haven't particularly sold a deal yet, but we know how hard it is. Deal selling is, it's not easy.
It's not tough.
Right. And having Deal Connect just gives you easy access to everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So deal selling is probably the hardest part of the whole process, because finding them and stacking the numbers, right? You go, you do the viewing, and then you get the mentors and they can help you stack the numbers. But it's the selling part that is really the tricky part. And he just made it so easy for us, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And so what else is going to happen then? So when you guys are all done scaling, like, what are you doing it all for?
We kind of have two different reasons. I want to be on a beach somewhere, or I don't know, traveling the world the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And Lewis likes his cars, so he'll probably be somewhere.
Yeah. I have a big, a large collection of cars.
You do?
Yeah, very large collection.
Yeah.
I have about 15 cars.
What?
So I
tell him to sell them all the time. I'm like, sell them, you don't need that money.
Sell them and get a BRR.
Yeah. But he'll probably be chilling out. I'll probably meet him somewhere, and I'll be under a car covered in grease somewhere.
So you also work on the cars?
Yeah, I build the cars, race the cars. So that's kind of my thing. But predominantly our biggest goal is to retire our mums and kind of give our family a happy life, you know. I think that's what drives everyone.
That is so nice. You know, when my grandma was 98 and a half, my beautiful grandma passed away, but my mom had been taking care of my grandma for you know, the better part of 15 years, right? Mm-hmm. And taking care of, meaning like my mom would sleep on the floor of my grandma's bed. So when my grandma passed away, I wanted to do something for my mom, right? Because we love our moms. We just keep wanting to give back. So I took her on a 10-day trip to Europe and we just had such a great time. Mm-hmm. So, and it's just something that is so rewarding for yourself to be able to do that for your moms, right?
Yeah, 100%.
There's
something special about that, and in my opinion.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Just, and I think mums are quite powerful as well. They're always there. Like no matter what. Like dads are great. I mean, I haven't particularly got a dad that's always been there, but my mum is just unbelievably powerful, and I mean same for his mum, so they deserve the world, and especially after what they're doing for us as well.
I know
they didn't really even have to ask, you know, they were like doing something
they almost chucked the money at us.
They need it back tenfold.
Oh, that's so nice. Well, I'm really happy that you guys got to spend some time with us today. So thank you very much. You guys going to hang out for the dinner?
Yeah, we'll be there.
Yeah?
I think, do we have to go on stage?
I think we do.
Well, we'll see.
That'll be nice if we
probably.
Go.
Probably.
Okay.
Stepping outside of your comfort zone, right?
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
That's right. Well, good. Congratulations on all of your success. I'm super, super impressed.
Thank you.
And I was so happy to sit down with you guys and get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to reach out, don't do Instagram. No. If somebody wants to reach out, how would they find you guys?
It would be Instagram.
Miller Hudson.
Yeah. Okay, perfect.
Yeah. We're super easy as well. Call us. Our number's on there. Call us anytime. Yeah. Message us anytime. We're here to help.
Yeah. If you're in Sussex or Surrey, get hold of us. We'll be more than happy to speak to you.
Great. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people who would have questions, and so they'd love to chat with you. So thank you so much again for sitting with us, and congratulations. And if you would like to know more about somebody just like if you would like to hear more about different stories like this, inspirational stories from young hardworking people and everybody really, then just please give us a like, subscribe, comment, share, and then you'll see more of these on Sundays. So thanks very much, guys. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.